Hey, everybody. Thanks again for tuning in to the Relate and Communicate podcast with your girl, Denedria Banks. As always, if you want to reach me, hit me up at relate2019@gmail.com. Again, that is relate2019@gmail.com. At 44 years of age, I did not expect I would need to move into an assisted living facility, also known as an ALF, A-L-F. For those unfamiliar with an assisted living facility, it is usually a residence that houses people 65 or older as they have moved into their retirement years. Most provide 3 meals a day, housekeeping, and assistance with activities of daily living, like bathing, dressing, sometimes medication management. Most offer activities, and some have their own transportation, enabling them to take residents to local doctor's appointments and sometimes weekly outings. The rooms usually have wider doors. The bathrooms are wheelchair accessible. Assisted living facilities differ from skilled nursing facilities or nursing homes because the latter focuses on people who are ill and require skilled medical attention. Assisted living facilities are usually paid for out of pocket. In June of 2018, after suffering an injury, I found myself needing to move to an assisted living facility. Prior to injury, I was a hospice social worker, so I went into many of these types of facilities on a weekly basis. I had general knowledge of the basic workings of these facilities as I interfaced with key staff members during my visits, usually the wellness director and med techs. Wellness directors are responsible for all aspects of the resident's life, and the med techs are usually the people who manage the medication and keep up with the patient's charts. And I always greeted any other staff members I saw and easily interacted with other residents. I maintained a pleasant and working relationship with staff members at the facilities, which enabled me to effortlessly manage the needs of my patients. I now know I had a rather narrow understanding of day-to-day life in an assisted living facility. After 14 days of being in an actual nursing facility, it was decided by management that I no longer had a skilled medical need and discharge was initiated. As I knew discharge was approaching, I had to make some very quick decisions. See, I live alone in a one-bedroom apartment and it was not large enough or accessible for the equipment I required at the time. A hospital bed, wheelchair, oversized shower chair, and much needed grab bars. Besides that, there was no one around who could assist in my care. The facility I chose was in Whittier. Initially, I was only expecting to be in the facility for a month, so I inquired and moved in to what was known as their respite room. So here's a sidebar. If any of you listening have elderly family members or are caregivers yourself, many facilities have respite rooms that are open to the communities for private pay. They will house and care for your loved one, allowing you, your family, to have a break. In addition to needing a break, some people use the respite rooms when they're exploring the possibility of having to move their loved one from their personal residence to an actual facility. So that's the end of my sidebar. So moving into an ALF, I had some mixed emotions. I was excited and nervous. I was excited because in my time as a hospice social worker, I had come to know this particular ALF. I knew the wellness director pretty well. I knew that there was a diversity in age, and this was a more active community. And I also liked the ALF for the simple fact it was smaller in size. And I felt like I would not get lost in the shuffle. I was nervous simply because it was a new place. Moving into the respite room, some furnishings were provided. A TV, no cable, a mini fridge, and a dining table. A regular bed would have been provided, but because I needed a hospital bed, I rented one from a medical company. The most liberating thing about my room was the bathroom. I could easily wheel my wheelchair in and transfer from the wheelchair to the toilet and back. Prior to this move, I was only able to use a bedside commode. For the first month at the ALF, I was in a honeymoon stage because everything was new, I was happy, and and I had an anticipated return home date. Most days, I had outside visitors. Co-workers dropped in, family members came by, and of course, the home health providers. My healing, so I thought, was moving along as expected, and I was truly happy to be in an environment where I could rest uninterrupted or move around with ease. In addition, I was a novelty, a 44-year-old hanging out in an ALF. Then it happened, a setback, resulting in my need to remain in the ALF for an additional 5 weeks. In an instant, the honeymoon was over. Upon returning from my doctor's appointment, everything felt and looked differently. What I once thought was an open, inviting room became a suffocating space. Would I ever be able to return home? I remember I stayed in bed the next day, didn't get dressed, and declined all visitors. You know, recovery after an injury is hard, and falling into a depressed state can happen easily. I'm thankful for my time in the ALF because if I was isolated at the time of setback, that could have easily been my demise. The ALF provided a community of support. Even when I didn't actively tap into it, the community was there. And if this is true for someone who's 44 years of age, imagine how important this could be for our elderly population. Just the basic thing of having that basic interface with the care staff or med tech doing their daily rounds, you get interaction. And having this built-in support is so important when people are struggling to have the best quality of life they can have. So I do believe 90% of the people who work in an ALF providing care for residents are truly committed to the job that they do and become connected and bonded to the residents and families which they serve. At my facility, management included the administrator, the wellness director, the business manager, the chef, the maintenance supervisor, and the activities director. Each one of those people were responsible for various staff members, ranging from the care staff to the wait staff in the dining room. I also believe there are people who move into caregiving roles believing, you know, this is going to be an easy paycheck. But soon enough, they learn that caring or providing services for the elderly or disabled population is not a cakewalk. And let me tell you, people do not stop living or automatically become docile just because they have aged or moved into a retirement community. After my honeymoon was over and I made the decision to become a part of my temporary community, I got a chance to see real life unfold. The day-to-day climate almost resembled a high school environment. You had the cool kids, the outcast or the misunderstood, the smoking crew, the drinking crew, the peacemakers, the escape crew. This was my crew. We signed up for all of the weekly outings. You had the stud, and you had the ones who always had the inside dish. I came to view the dining room as the high school quad area. It was where you could see or hear the most info. And I usually strove to eat lunch in the dining room to pick up all the latest juice that was going around. And just like high school, there were also opportunities to bond with individuals when you least expected it. On an outing, playing bingo, singing karaoke, hanging outside on the patio. You never knew when you would form a bond with someone. Although there were various cliques, the assisted living facility was a true community. Residents and staff members were genuinely concerned when someone was hospitalized and a death of a resident was felt by all. Additionally, residents mourned good staff members who resign. Because when someone cares for you and they are gentle with you, make you feel safe, it's sad when they are no longer around. There was one thing I never took into consideration as a hospice social worker, going in and out of various communities. Some of the things the caregiving staff go through during their day. One of the things that I never expected to see was verbal abuse of caregiving staff and how common it actually was. I know that staff members are trained to deal with difficult patients and learn how to de-escalate situations. But when you are dealing with people who are sometimes intentionally mean simply because they feel they have the right to be or they're entitled, you know, it's hard. I know even as a social worker, when I would encounter family members or patients who were mean, all you're trying to do is help them and you're getting attacked. sometimes it does wear you down. So witnessing that, it was hard to see. And that becomes a reason why caregiving staff don't stay. Because when you work to do something very notable, you know, you don't sign up to be abused. So to all you caregivers out there, I truly thank you for all your hard work. Without you, people like me would not be able to do or to achieve some things in our recovery. You know, living in an ALF provided me with a gift that I'll never forget, a lesson. What I put into life, I will get in return. And just because life changes does not mean it's over. Because life definitely changes as we grow, evolve, mature. And one day we discover things we truly valued now are meaningless. But as life changes, there will be things that we will always need. Personal interaction, acceptance, and love. Because we weren't meant to walk this journey alone. So I'm thankful for the days of bingo, karaoke, and outings. I'm thankful for the staff members who encouraged me even when I was not actively tapping into the community of the ALF. I'm thankful I got a chance to see the inner workings of the community. And I'm thankful to the residents who accepted the youngin into their community, even for a short period of time. Thanks again, everyone, for listening to this show of Relate and Communicate with your girl, Denedria Banks. In the description of the show, I have listed some tidbits of information if you are looking for an assisted living facility for yourself or a loved one. And as always, if you would like to reach out to me, hit me up at relate2019@gmail.com. That is relate2019@gmail.com.